This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Dirt. I want to thank you for taking some time out to listen to the podcast of our show, brought to you by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
This is the Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague visit the insiders that are covering the stories you've heard about, and some you haven't.
How'd you do that? Actually, I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker with Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
All right, welcome back in 12:33 here on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan. It is time for the Daily Ticker. We've got one stop to make, and it's with NBA writer Keith Smith. He's a contributor for Yahoo Sports NBA. You can find him on Twitter at KeithSmithNBA. Give him a follow. He's got great insights and fun factoids all the time on Twitter, and he joins us on the MVPHomeLoans.com Guild Hotline now. Keith, thanks for taking some time for us in Portland, man. Appreciate it. Nice to have you on the show for the first time. 14 trades on deadline day, most in the last 30 years. How insane was yesterday for someone like yourself?
It was very insane. It was one of those things, and considering the day before started here for me on the East Coast at about 2:30 in the morning with a Tobias Harris trade, and then it really feels like, other than a brief period in the early morning yesterday here on the East Coast when I was able to grab a shower and get some breakfast in me, it just didn't stop. It was a crazy 2 days, and a wild trade deadline that saw 24 total trades, I think. Wow. Since the Kristaps Porzingis deal was made last week. So we've seen the league kind of reset itself in a big way.
Well, let's start with the Blazers. Is some fans satisfied with what they did? Some fans wanted more. Some fans upset that they didn't try and pull off some kind of big blockbuster. They get Rodney Hood, Scala Bissier, and now here we go on the stretch run. What did you make of Portland at the deadline?
I really liked the Rodney Hood pickup, especially since I got him for two guys who weren't rotation pieces. I know Nick Stauskas started out the year with some promise, but he's really not been in the rotation for the last couple of months at least. And then Wade Baldwin, that's a deep bench guy, and they've got plenty of depth at that guard spot. So I think Hood comes in, gives them a scoring wing off the bench, which is something that they've really been kind of lacking. They get by with Evan Turner and Jake Layman, but Hood can create his own shot and also knock down outside jumpers. So he's kind of the best of both worlds of those two guys. So I think he'll help quite a bit. And then Scalva, that's an upside play. You're going to get a look at him for the rest of this year, next year, and see, hopefully maybe you can make something out of him. And if they choose over the summer to move on from one of the other bigs, Myers Leonard or, potentially, Alfred Camino leaves in free agency. Now you've got Labissier and you have at least a depth piece there, hopefully for a guy like Caleb Swanigan, who he looks like he might not be, an NBA rotation player at any point.
Right. Keith Smith, Yahoo NBA writer, is our guest. Give him a follow on Twitter at Keith Smith NBA. Did you hear any rumblings of any other deals? The GM Neil Olshey doesn't really talk to the Portland media at all. And when he does, it's usually with the affiliate. So we don't really get any details. Nobody's able to really have any conversations with him. But yesterday he said they were involved in some close to major deals. No details obviously involved. Did you hear any rumblings of any other deals Portland might have been close to?
Yeah, it's hard to get a lot out of Portland leading up to anything. You tend to hear after the fact. They're one of the teams that kind of works quieter. They don't, a lot of times we see these teams that they almost work through the media to get deals made in a way, and Portland just doesn't really play that game. You hear it after. I had heard that they've around the fringes talked about, what could we do with a guy like Marc Gasol if there was something potentially there, but that was going to involve them giving up too much, and they obviously really love Yusuf Nurkic up front. And then I've heard some people say that they at least made a cursory call on Anthony Davis to see if there was anything, but that was 29 teams made that call. So I didn't hear of anything getting overly close. I don't have any reason to doubt it. It's just not anything I've directly heard.
Yeah, I think every GM should be fired if they didn't at least call on Anthony Davis. It's worth lobbing an offer out there, right, for a player of that caliber. What did you make of the Anthony Davis saga? Speaking of him, I mean, New Orleans, it sounds like maybe they were just trying to screw L.A. over and had no intention of trading him at all, and now he goes into the offseason. How did you make – or what did you make in the last couple of weeks, and then your thoughts on him the rest of the year leading into the big offseason?
Yeah, they clearly did not like the way this was all handled with Davis and his camp angling to get him to Los Angeles from the beginning. I think the Pelicans rightly so felt, you know, hey, this reduces our leverage. Other teams are, you know, saying this guy's definitely going there. Well, why am I going to make an offer? Or, you know, this is where he wants to be. But then when it came to offers, I think the Pelicans made a smart basketball decision. I think they looked at it and said, we've seen this package of players, what they, you know, could be over the last month or so here while LeBron James was out. And in the Western Conference, it's just not good enough. We're not going to compete, but they're also not bad enough for us to bottom all the way out. So I think the Pelicans from a basketball side said, all right, well, we like your guys, but we don't like them that much. So you've got to pay up with a bunch of picks and swap rights in between and all these things that the Lakers said, all right, this is getting crazy. We're going to bow out of this. This is too much. As far as what's going to happen now, it sounds like Davis is going to play the rest of the season. That had the potential to be a very, very ugly situation. He, you know, could have gotten the Players Association and then ultimately the league involved if, you know, he was going to be sat while he's healthy to play. And we all know the NBA, you know, in recent years, it's come crack down on sitting healthy players. They want their best guys playing. So it sounds like he's going to play it out. But the reality is this is just going to be him, you know, playing out the string in New Orleans. And, you know, he won't be on that team, you know, much past July 1st or at the end of the moratorium in the summer. That's when that'll all get done and he'll be shipped off to wherever he's going to play next.
Keith, were you surprised other teams didn't make better offers for Mirotić? I know it's you know, about, what, 27 or 28 games left in the season, so you don't know what the future holds, so you don't want to mortgage everything. But were you surprised some of these teams that are competing in the West, the East, maybe didn't offer a better package than what Milwaukee gave?
Yeah, I was a little surprised because he's really a plug-and-play guy. As a stretch four, you can just put him in there. Every team can use a stretch four. Every team has, you know, a set of plays in their playbook that utilize a player like that. You know, he can open up the floor. I think one thing that held it down a little, he really hasn't been healthy for large chunks of this season. And I do know that there were a couple teams who were a little leery about giving up much because of, you know, that worry. In addition, he's a free agent this summer and can walk. But then when you see what the package is, I think, you know, talking with a couple different teams today, they were kind of like, yeah, that's one of those where we'd known that was all it was going to take. You know, maybe we would have went in on him a little harder and, you know, tried to make the move.
Yeah. I wanted to get back to Portland briefly because Mirotić is one of those guys that I know people wanted them to go after. But a lot has been made about this bad offseason that Portland had and the contracts, you know, to Evan Turner and Mo Harkless and Myers Leonard, and they're weighing down the books and they're tough to move. But the only sense of optimism I think we've had is that at least next year they're expiring deals, and maybe that will have a little more incentive on the market when they're trying to make moves either in the offseason or at the trade deadline. Is that how you view it? I mean, when you look at some of those bad contracts, is that going to be an attractive asset next year if Portland's looking for ways to improve their roster?
Yeah, it absolutely is going to be, you know, something that's going to be helpful for them, whether they use it themselves and let them expire and clean up their own books, or whether they are able to move them off in trade to take on money or take on, you know, players that they like, because teams are looking for expiring. This summer, expiring contracts have, you know, some value, but about, you know, 10 to 12 teams are probably going to have max cap space for at least one max offer this summer. So that becomes a little trickier to, you know, when you're selling an expiring contract, you might not get as much back. Now, next year, because NBA teams can't help themselves, they're going to spend like crazy idiots this summer, right? They're going to spend all the cap space that they have. Next year, when you're one of those teams that can serve up expiring contracts, especially if you can serve up two or three of them together in a deal, that's all of a sudden now a guy, and I'm not saying this to the guy, but like a guy like Mike Conley, who makes $30 million, part of the reason why he didn't get moved is that's a big number to move. You've got to either send back one big bad salary, or you've got to do, you know, multiple. Portland's going to be positioned to say, hey, who's got a, you know, 25, 30 million guy? We can pair two, three expiring contracts together and get there. So that's definitely going to be helpful for them, you know, going into this time a year from now.
Yeah. Keith, get you out of here on this one. And this is kind of maybe just a guess and also maybe some insight from other people that you talk to around the league. You know, if Portland can't get out of the first round yet again, and honestly, that would just be a really interesting streak, because without the Griffin Paul injuries, they wouldn't have done it. the one time that they did. If they, Portland can't get out of the first round, do you expect Neil Olshay, or do people around the league think Neil Olshay might be willing to deal one of the bigger pieces we have?
Yeah, I do. I, you know, talking to folks around the league, they, you know, they get calls on Dame and CJ all the time, and they've held firm of we're not interested. You know, they shut it down real quick because, you know, that's their two guys. Those are the two franchise guys. But there is a sense around the league that if it doesn't go their way again this year in the playoffs, that they're going to be motivated to make that move. There's some, you know, unfortunately, you know, that with the passing of Paul Allen, there's some who felt that he, you know, was, no, those were his guys too, you know, and he loved those two. And he may have said, you know, hey, we don't want to do this now. You know, they're, you know, obviously ownership's in a bit of a transition there. And there is a feeling that, you know, it could be time to, you know, kind of pounce there if things don't go their way in the playoffs. And it's, you know, it's primarily Dame and CJ. And there's been a little bit of rumblings that, you know, Damian Lillard could, if this year doesn't go well, it's going to be time for him to start to make a little bit of noise of, you know, hey, what are we doing here now? Yeah. You know, I'm entering the prime years of my career. And, you know, I don't know how many more years I'm in for one round and out.
Yeah. Right.
I'm curious to ask you, because here locally, at least with Blazer fans, and not all, but I would say a good chunk of Blazer fans, Neil Olshay is public enemy number one, just because he doesn't talk. Nobody really understands what the overall plan is for the organization. He can be a little condescending at times when he does talk. And then some of the bad contracts and lack of moves. What's the vibe around Neil Olshay and, I guess, the, I don't know, respect level for the Blazers GM around the NBA?
It's pretty high. I think a lot of people look at it and say he's built a consistent winner there, you know, really since he's been there. And it's in a market that's maybe not the easiest place to attract guys and to win games. So I think a lot of people do have a healthy respect. Now, that said, one of the things you always have to watch when there's going to be an ownership transition, they want their own guy. They want to be the one who picks the person who comes in. So I think there's, you know, some expectation of, you know, Neil Olshay's under pressure for this team to be good, because eventually there's going to be some form of new ownership in town that owns the Blazers. And then at that point, they may say, you know, we've been okay, but we haven't been really good. It might be time for me to look in a different direction as well. So I think it's, you know, look, the Blazers are in a very interesting spot where they're a very good team, but they're not great. And that generally tends to be in the NBA where you start to make moves and make change.
Yeah. Keith Smith, Yahoo NBA writer. Give him a follow on Twitter at Keith Smith NBA. Joins us on the MVP HomeLoans.com Guild Hotline for the Daily Ticker. Keith, really enjoyed the conversation, man. We'll have to get you back on sometime soon.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.